listening to Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Brammer on News Talk STL.
And hello, I'm Julia Gordon-Brammer, and this is Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being. It was really hard coming up with a name for this show. I was pondering it with my husband for a while. His name is Tom. And he suggested we go with Tom Talk, but he said how the boards will light up with that one, and we said no, and I chose Mystic Fix because mystic is kind of an all encompassing word. We can get into religion and all kinds of rituals and practices in any sort of mysticism, magic, faith. And I really want this to be a positive show, a mind-body-spirit show. Back in 2020, when the division was so great and we were all really, really feeling it, that was when I started a Course in Miracles group, a study group. And that's been wonderful, and it has continued. But that is just the very narrow group, just the small number of us. And while A Course in Miracles believes that each soul can touch about 5,000 souls in a positive way, which I love, I loved the idea of this program, and it really just sort of fell into line. And so I'm going with the flow here. So I'm not entirely sure how this will go. We're going to work out some kinks, I'm sure, as we get into it and get some rhythms. But anyway, I want to welcome you. I want this to be a show that is accessible to everyone. I don't want this to be so esoteric and freaky, but I want it to be fun also. So we will be doing everything from crystals to Kabbalah to Yetis to aliens. Some of that is Tyler's expertise. And I want to have a good time with it. Please check out our website, mysticfix.com, where you can get on our email list, which will qualify you for book giveaways. You can put your name in the hat to get a tarot card reading on the show. And you can also connect with me if you're looking for a tarot card reading for yourself or for an event or something like that. So today we are going to be talking with my good friend Tyler Kuwala, who's here in the studio. We will also be talking to a kitchen witch from England named Rachel Patterson, and we'll be doing some live tarot card readings closing out the show. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Tyler Kuwala. Tyler and I have known each other for, probably 5 or 6 years now, I'd say. And we met through the Universal Connections group, which is a real fun group in town. It has a couple locations, south and west, getting into some of that fun stuff, the alien encounters and the we should do a whole show probably on Universal Connections. But anyway, Tyler calls himself, I loved your title, an experiencer, an independent researcher, and a passionate disclosure activist. So Tyler was one of the hosts of the Journey to Truth podcast. He co-hosts that with Aaron Kuhn. And they look at controversial and eye-opening topics without limitations. I enjoyed that explanation as well. So welcome, Tyler. And I just want to preface this, that every show I'm doing will be in the order of tarot. So we're picking a tarot theme because I am a professional tarot card reader. For those of you who don't know, I have been reading cards for over 44 years. And so the tarot begins with the Fool card. And the Fool is not about being a fool. The Fool is a card of innocence. It's a card of purity. And it's the journey. It's beginning the journey of life. And so with Tyler's Journey to Truth podcast, I thought that might be a nice tie-in. So anyway, tell us about who you are, Tyler, and your path.
Well, I love the fact that the Fool is the first card, and I'm your first guest. I guess I'm the fool who dealt that card. It's been, you know, things are crazy right now. Ever since you said, like, 2020 was a big division, it really forced people to go inward and start questioning who they were and what their purpose was and why they're here. And a lot of truths were surfacing. A lot of darkness was being revealed on the world stage. And I think it was kickstarted a lot of people off on their spiritual journey. Well, you know, mine started back in when I was 24 years old. My mother passed away. And overnight, I started having paranormal, what I thought was paranormal experiences. They started off negative, but it forced me to believe in things that I didn't believe in at that time.
Can you elaborate, like, what those experiences were?
Yeah, so a few weeks after my mother passed away, I was laying in bed, getting ready to fall asleep, and watching Seinfeld. I remember I had a Seinfeld DVD. I didn't have cable in the room, and my remote control started levitating, like floating off my bed.
Oh my gosh.
I started like to panic. I didn't know if it was real or not. And it kept getting higher and higher. And then I tried to reach for it. And I started levitating out of my bed. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if it was real. I didn't know if I was dreaming. But I kept getting higher and higher. And I was like about to hit the ceiling. And I was like, well, I need to get back in bed. That's my first thought. And I knew of out-of-body experiences. I had heard of those before. But that was it. You know, I didn't have any knowledge on the subject at all. So I thought maybe that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to turn myself around. And when I did, I looked into the mirror. I had a mirror at the back of my bed.
And just to interrupt, there were no drugs or alcohol involved, right?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. This was a weeknight, a work, you know, work day. It was the next day. So, whenever I spun around and saw myself in the mirror, I realized I wasn't in my bed. I was in the air with my remote next to me, and that's when I panicked. And I know this is a little intense and hard to believe, but this is what happened, and this is what kickstarted everything and forced me to believe in stuff that I just didn't believe in before. So I started like trying to get back down into bed, like almost like swimming, because I didn't know how, and it was working. And I was getting closer to my bed, and something like took over my body, and like my arms and legs were crossed, and I was slammed down into bed, and it felt like I was like paralyzed. Sleep paralysis, if you ever heard that, it was like that, but on steroids. And there was like this presence on top of me, and I couldn't move. It was my first time ever experiencing this, and I was fighting this thing, fighting it, and I thought I was dying. Like I had the thought that someone was going to find me.
And this is actually a common experience. I mean, I've heard this story a number of times in, you know, maybe not in connection with a parent dying, but just the sleep paralysis, the feeling of sometimes suffocation, sometimes weight on you. Yeah. So what do you think that was? Or do you consider it to be a spirit, a malevolent spirit, or something else?
Yeah, I think definitely malevolent. It wasn't something it wasn't something that was trying to help me. That's for sure. Over the years, that was the beginning of, like, that was happening all the time for years until I finally was forced to go inward and go on a spiritual journey and learn how to, you know, stop it and realize that we have that power within.
Do you think your grief of losing your mother called that negative energy to you?
100%. And that's what was made aware to me, you know, as I started going on my journey. I started being introduced to new people and introduced to things like Reiki, energy healing. And that's what was explained to me is whenever you lose a loved one or something traumatic happens in your life, there's a fracture in your aura, in your auric field. And it's almost like a spotlight out into the ether, the fourth dimension, where these dark entities, you know, where they reside. And it's just like a beacon of light. And they will come in. They will take advantage of that fracture. And they will come in because their only means of survival is through us. And that's why they're trapped there. They use us to, you know, live. So I think that's exactly what happened.
And I'd just like to say for skeptics, it doesn't really matter if you actually levitated in the physical world or if you just had the experience, because the pain, the freak out was real, you know?
Right.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so that exactly. Like I've told this story before. I'm actually writing a book right now, and this is going to be detailed in that book. But a lot of people are skeptical, like that didn't happen. But the more I started telling my story, the more people started saying, hey, this happened to me also. So there's like a theme, a this does occur. But when I finally broke free, I jumped out of bed, I ran out of my room down the hall, and I stood in the kitchen like, what the just happened, you know? And I was out of breath, and I just stared back down the hallway for, I guess, for like 30 minutes. I don't even know what happened. I just couldn't believe. And I like snuck back down the hall and looked around the corner, make sure like nothing was in my room, made sure things were safe. And finally, I never went back to sleep that night. I called off work the next day. And mm-hmm. It was amazing that I still had a job, because this happened so frequently. I was losing sleep, and I literally couldn't function at work, and it was really detrimental. But it forced me to go on this healing journey and figure out who I was and why this was happening. And just by surrendering to all the possibilities, instead of, you know, being completely skeptical all the time, everything opened up for me, and life got a lot easier and more magical. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the reality that we're dealt, the hand that we're given, is so mundane and so programmed to what's actually possible and what's actually happening every day, that people are just, they don't notice because they're looking down.
I love that. Yeah. And so you actually took control and shifted your life to, you said, the healing journey, which is perfect. The journey toward positivity, toward the light, versus going into just wallowing in the grief. And that's what so many people stay stuck, you know, whether they're stuck in shame or guilt or victimhood or, you know, or just pain like you were. Right. It's all such negative emotion and not at all helpful. And we can elevate ourselves.
Yeah. And you nailed it when you said victimhood, because that's ultimately how you rise above everything, is when you stop playing the victim. To everything that's happening in your life, even on the world stage, you're like, why does it have to be like this? Why is this happening to me? As soon as you turn everything into, what can I do about this?
Yeah.
You know, how can I learn from this? What is this trying to teach me? There's a lesson here. And once you allow everything to become your teacher, you're unstoppable.
Right.
Because that's why these things happen. That's why all, I think, you know, our darkest moments are our greatest teachers if we allow them to be.
Absolutely. So. And sometimes the most painful people in our lives, too, you know, right. I have jokes. There's somebody I've referred to in my life as my nemesis, kind of professionally. But he's been an incredible teacher to me. And forced me to grow and forced me to choose other paths when I was trying to make it on, you know, I was told that there is one path. And I'm specifically referring to my work in academia. Some of you may know I'm a scholar of Sylvia Plath. And so there is sort of one acceptable way to be a scholar. And I'm a professional tarot card reader, and I didn't play that game quite the same way. And I was mocked, and I was iced out of conferences and symposiums. And then all of a sudden, the world opened up to me in an entirely different way with publications. I have another Plath book coming out, and it was totally not going the prescribed path. Which was rejecting me anyway.
Right.
So yeah, I really get what you're saying here.
Well, they say if things go according to plan, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. You
know? So it's true, because when we set like that, when we make that 5-year plan for ourselves, we actually limit ourselves to other opportunities that might be knocking at our doorstep, just because we have a end goal in mind. Sometimes that end goal can distract you. When we focus on that end goal, you know, it's always great to have that end goal, but don't close yourself off to other opportunities along the way.
Yeah.
And I think by being open to that, you know, things can't go according to plan, and that's where the magic happens.
Right. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Tyler. We are going to take a short break, and next up, we're going to be talking to Rachel Patterson, an English kitchen witch, and talking about the wheel of the year and the meaning of seasons and a lot of fun stuff there. And then Tyler and I will be back, and we're going to do a tarot card reading for a caller. So hang on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning.
You're listening to Mystic Fix on News Talk STL.
Hello, welcome back to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon Bramer, and today we are speaking with Rachel Patterson. Rachel is an English kitchen witch, all the way on the other side of the pond in England. She has been practicing for over 30 years and is a best-selling author with over 20 books on witchcraft. She's a high priestess of the Kitchen Witch Coven, an elder at the Kitchen Witch Online School of Witchcraft. So, Rachel, before we get into it, can you describe what a kitchen witch is?
Absolutely. It started with food. I love food. I love specifically baking. And whereas a lot of witches, myself included, work with magical herbs, I like to work with magical food as well. So where herbs and plants and trees all have magic within them, so do all the ingredients in your kitchen cupboard. So I incorporate that not only in my cooking, but in my spell work as well. I'll use all the ingredients from my kitchen cupboard. I think for me as well, a kitchen witch uses whatever's to hand. I'll make do with household objects or whatever I've got lying around to work magic with. Okay. Not so much ceremonial, more what have I got?
One of the things that attracted me to your book when I was looking it over, you show a person does not have to be a practicing witch to honor some of the symbolism and resonance in day-to-day plants and objects. And do you know what I mean? Like, one of the goals of my show, Mystic Fix, is to sort of find a unity in spirituality at a time when we need it the most, when everything is so fractured and so divided. Yeah. And so I just appreciate kind of returning to nature, getting, acknowledging the beauty in the simpler things, and that is can be where our sanity and our peace is also. So and that just my opinion there. One of the reasons I wanted to bring you in at this time, and this particular show that we're recording right now will air on February 4th, which is 2 days after our Groundhog's Day in the right. United yes. States. And it is very closely timed with the celebration of Imbolc, which is a pagan Celtic celebration. I'll let you clarify that for me. And also February 1st in the UK is St. Bridget's Day, which is, and it's all kind of tied in as the first day of spring, even though in February, certainly here in the States, and I'm pretty sure in England too, it's still very cold and often snowy, rainy, not what we think of as spring weather. But I wondered if you could talk a little bit about St. Bridget's Day and Imbolc and just give us an idea on what those are.
Absolutely. I am a pagan witch. So to work witchcraft, you don't actually need to follow any specific faith at all. Witchcraft is a magical practice. I think that's probably why our grandmothers, our great grandmothers worked folk magic, which is essentially what it is. But I bring paganism into my witchcraft because that's the faith that I follow. Imbolc is a pagan festival. The Wheel of the Year, the eight Sabbats that a lot of pagans witches work with, is quite a modern invention as it sits. But a lot of the festivals are based on ancient practices, ancient celebrations. I like to extend it, and I like to work with folk traditions, folklore, folk celebrations for the area that I live in as well. Because as you say, February can be under snow for quite a lot of countries, quite a lot of places. So being able to see the first signs of spring when you're 6 feet under snow is probably quite difficult to do. So I think, although these festivals are dates on calendars, I think we need to tailor them a little bit more to the areas that we live in. But traditionally, Imbolc is. It is about those very, very first signs of spring. that's why I think the flower, the snowdrop, is quite often associated with Imbolc, because it's one of the first flowers that sort of shows its head. But it is quite often coming through snow as well. For me, February is the first month of the calendar year. January for me is still cold, it's still winter, it's still hibernation.
Sure.
So February for me makes more sense to be the first month to start planning things, to start putting new ventures in motion, because February is about growth. It is that initial first steps of spring, to look at things from a different perspective, decide what you want to do going forward, which ties in as well with Imbolc, which is about new life, new growth. Mm-hmm. Imbolc is usually the time when lambing happens, so you've got the new life from that point of view. In the Anglo-Saxon times, the name for February was Solmanath, which translates as basically as wet mud.
Perfect.
Which kind of, you know, makes a lot of sense from the weather point of view. Actually, an old monk and historian, Bede, he suggested that it actually translated as the month of cakes, which is by far more my better translation for it. It makes more sense to me. I like that reference better.
And it works with our Mardi Gras, with king cakes. And yeah, which is also in February.
I love how these things all tie in with each other.
Yeah.
During February, savory cakes and bread would have been baked, and they would have been given as offerings to ensure that the year ahead, the growing season ahead, was a good one, because we relied on that to keep us alive. Roman word, februa, my pronunciation's terrible, which was the Roman festival of purification. So they would have...
And she was a goddess, if I'm correct.
It would have all been about having a clear out. A spring clean, if you like.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. It all falls into place.
Well, and getting back to Groundhog Day, what I found amusing was, you know, so here in the United States, they watch the groundhog come out of his hole, and if he sees his shadow, then there's more weeks of winter, blah, blah, blah. On the UK side and throughout Europe, I believe it's Badger's Day, right? It's not a groundhog, it's a badger.
Not a particularly well-known one. Similar creatures, probably. Uh-huh.
And then I found out in Scotland, it was a snake, which is so interesting. The snake coming out of his hole. So, you know, one of the things I love about all faith is they have their different brands, their different animals, their different gods or goddesses, but it's the same story.
Yeah. Follows the same thread, doesn't it?
And so to me, truth is truth is truth. And so if, you know, certain religions may condemn you as a pagan, you know, some people use that word pagan almost as an insult.
Yeah.
And really it's pagan is just going to the earth, right? It's looking to the earth and to the stars and to all of where the symbols are, which is not so different. My practice as a tarot card reader and psychic, I'm always telling my clients, we're all psychic to different degrees. And it's teaching ourselves to pay attention and to look for the signs and to look for the symbols. So some people see number patterns. Some people see feathers everywhere they go. Some people see certain stones, or, you know, we're called to different things. Animals, of course. I think many of us have had very intriguing animal encounters. And I know you're an expert on some of that, and we may have to call you back to talk on that. So what can you tell us? I know Imbolc is the midpoint between the solstice and the equinox, and you've written quite a bit about the wheel of the year. So can you explain the wheel of the year? You're saying it starts around now in February?
It basically, what it does is splits the year into eight different celebrations, for want of a better word. Imbolc being beginning of February, which really covered lambing time. That's what it is. It's growth, it's new beginnings. But it covers the two solstices and the equinoxes. And it basically, it gives us a party every 6 or 8 weeks. It is a modern, in the format it's in now, it was designed in the 1970s, really. But some of them are based on planetary. So the solstices and the equinoxes are planetary, you know, parts of the year. But it marks points, particularly for harvest times. It is, for me, it's about the changing of the seasons. It splits the year into different energies, if you like. Although I tend to then split it again, and I prefer to work with the months, so you get the different energies of each month. And of course, each month has its own folk traditions and celebrations. February the 2nd was also a Christian one. It's Candlemas. It kind of goes, we're talking now again about all these similar traditions, right, but in different faiths. So Candlemas was February 2nd. It was celebrating the purification of the Virgin Mary and the presentation of Christ in the temple. Candles were blessed by the clergy and given to the village folk. They had processions. Candles represented the light of the world. And in actual fact, a lot of pagans will work with candles on in bulk because of the new growth, because of the new light that's come from the winter solstice. And it all goes hand in hand.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, Candlemas is 40 days after the nativity, yeah, right? So the nativity being the darkest point, the shortest days of the year. Yeah, it's so solstice, fascinating.
The winter solstice at Yule in December is when the daylight starts to get slightly longer every day. So you're welcoming back the light. But you mentioned St. Bridget as well, or Bridie or Bridget. She was originally a goddess, then a saint. February the 1st. It's an Irish tradition to have tea and potato bread that evening. Clean the house, spring cleaning, decluttering. You'd lay out all of your best crockery. You would make a Bridget doll. So it was a sheaf of straw wrapped in a bit of fabric, made to look like a little doll, basically, to welcome St. Bridget or Bridie back in. And it would be placed in the house to welcome her back in. Again, welcoming back in the light, welcoming back in the new season.
And coming out of hibernation.
Pretty much. Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to have to make a doll.
And quite often they would make a little bed for her to sleep in as well. Make it comfortable.
A fun activity for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, in our last minute, Rachel, could you tell us about your latest book, A Witch for Every Season? I know it's published by Llewellyn, and for Mystic Fix listeners who want to send me an email, one lucky email listener watcher will get a free copy.
Fantastic.
But tell us what's in the book.
So it's A Witch for Every Season. It literally covers spells, rituals, festivals, magic activities, working with each month, the energy of the months, some of the Sabbats, like in bulk, but also bringing in Saints' Days, Valentine's Day, all of the traditions and celebrations that you're probably familiar with, but also about making it work for you and in the area that you live in, and tying it in with your weather, your seasons, and the land that you live on.
Oh, wonderful. So, right. So it's not just a template that slept on everybody. It's not a one size.
No. Got to make it work for you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So, Rachel, how can people find you if they wanted to get you online or contact you through email or something?
My website, rachelpatterson.co.uk. And that has my links to all of the social media and anywhere you can find me.
Okay. All right. We do appreciate your time. I know it gets a little crazy figuring 6 hours from St. Louis time.
We did it.
Despite some audio problems and a little Mercury retrograde shadow, we did it. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to do some tarot card readings on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Well, on the way, head in a cloud, a man of a thousand voices talking perfectly loud.
This is Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being on News Talk STL.
And nobody seems to like him. They can tell what he
Welcome back to Mystic Fix. And I neglected to mention that my good friend Garrett Enlow is in the studio here taking pictures for our website. And he is the author, along with his wife Stacy, of the Mississippi Nights book, which yours truly is in it in a couple places, as well as my magazine Nighttime. So this book has been selling. It's been in like the bestsellers of St. Louis for at least a month or more with Christmas and everything. It's such a cool book. So check it out. Just wanted to give Garrett a plug there because he's a bestie. So now we are going to get a caller on the line and do a tarot card reading. Okay, we have Catherine on the line. Catherine, what is your question for the tarot cards and me?
I think today, right now in my life, I would like to know, is there anything that I should know imminently about my health?
About your health. Okay, let me just kind of tune into you here for a second. So I'm putting your cards down now. Okay, I actually do have a health concern, which I never like to see. I'm going to add some cards before I get too specific about it.
Okay.
Okay. So I am seeing that in the next 6 months or so, you don't look like you're feeling terribly ill, but I feel like I'm getting like things are shifting, a little bit of vertigo or something. We've got the Judgment card in reverse, and so this is sort of your mental processes. It's an idea that things don't feel level, don't feel secure, don't feel even always safe. Have you had any issues like this in the past? It looks to me like there is some sort of supplement or medication that you will be given to feel better. But the Moon in reverse is my central card here. And sometimes this can be hormonal. It can be like a thyroid issue or something like that. But things do seem to be out of whack, out of balance for you in this next 6 months. So, as I said, I am seeing you getting some sort of medication for that. Other than that, I would say with the Seven of Cups in reverse in the next few months, this is a process that's building from 3 to 6 months. So it's not that you wake up one day and you just feel bad. I think you're going to start feeling bad sooner rather than later. I can't tell you exactly what the cause is because, of course, I'm not a doctor, but I would venture with this Moon card that it's something hormonal. Does that make sense to you?
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay. Have you had any issues with that prior to this phone call?
Well, I just had issues going through the menopausal.
Okay. Yeah.
Menopausal
Been
hormone
there.
Thing. Had a lot of issues trying to navigate that.
So that makes total sense because if you think about the Moon card, the Moon runs on a 28-day cycle like the female menses. So it is our card of all that female stuff. And your energy levels are down. But I am seeing... I feel like you're getting a shifting, like a vertigo or something, almost feeling like a little drunk or something. Things just seem to be off or unsteady or out of balance. I do pin it to these hormones. That's how I'm seeing it. So I would highly recommend you get your hormones tested if you haven't already. I have a client who does this for me, and I'm actually, I feel like she's saved my life with the hormones because, I tried to tough it out. I thought as a spiritual person that my clean living and exercising and good attitude would just power through menopause, and it kicked my butt. So between the insomnia and the hot flashes.
Perhaps we can chat more about that later. But I have been experiencing greater fatigue.
Okay. I think it's all just part of it. I mean, I'm just seeing it all being the hormones. But I am seeing something that you can be given here. So I hope this was helpful. And do let me
Very
know.
Much.
Yeah, if you ever want to do this again, reach out to mysticfix.com and we'll get you back on the roster.
Okay, Julia, okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, you take care.
Yeah, just to follow up on that reading, because it's interesting that that came up right now, because the sexual energies right now is something that's been coming up a lot for me, and clearing out the sexual energies and aligning all your chakras, especially the sacral chakra. And I was just doing a sexual energy course. Hmm. And what came up, it was for male and females, but what came up was the menopause cycle, and how that is actually like a new version of the divine feminine, like coming in. So what she suggested was to accept the new energies in and make sure you go on that healing journey of aligning your chakras and clearing out that sacral chakra. Uh-huh. Any stagnant sexual energy there will allow for that new version of you to step in.
Right.
And it's just really interesting.
You know, there's the famous triple goddess representation in mythology, and she's maiden, mother, crone, you know, and I hate that word crone, but she is the high priestess in the tarot, and she is the woman with the wisdom who is finally self-actualized and reached her highest potential. And so so I like to think, you know, I put the high priestess on the back of my business cards, and I like to think, okay, it's something, I don't want to say that I fully have self-actualized, that feels very arrogant, and nobody's there till you're dead, I think. You know, we're always in a process of growing and learning. But certainly we're wiser the older we get. And so I like that. I like that idea of just receiving it and having it be part of all of our growth. And men have their version of menopause as well.
Right.
So, Tyler, you were saying you might want a tarot card reading.
Yeah, bring it on.
All right. I'll just have you shuffle the cards here. And what question do you want me to look at?
Can we just do something like a year outlook or something?
Oh, we might not have time for like the whole year,
well,
but we
okay.
can.
Just like a...
I can just get the highlights for you. How about that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Just the All briefest right. version of that.
Yeah. All right. So Tyler's 2023. All right. So we got the Devil card on top, which actually you've got some really powerful cards here. I put 7 cards down, and 4 of them are major arcana cards, and it's the gist of the second half of the year, just so you know. So a very good second half of the year. First half, we start with the 9 of Cups, which is just about being content. You know, it's a satisfied card. It's Tyler is basically a happy individual. We have the 6 of Swords in reverse, which is upside down. And this is a card of feeling a little stuck. Sometimes it can be wanting to travel and not being able to travel. So there's a restlessness with this card. Your next card is the 2 of Pentacles. And this is juggling a number of things, tasks, sometimes jobs, sometimes work and school. But I am seeing you as the juggler. You're managing it. That's all good. The top energy of 2023 is the Devil card. Not a bad card. It is our card of the sensual pleasures. It is good food, good drink, vacation, sleeping late, you know. We love the Devil when he's right side up. Upside down's a whole different thing, and we're not having to deal with that. So, looking at the year ahead for you, I've got the Chariot. Fantastic. He's driven, he's ambitious, he's going places, and he's reaching his destination. So I feel like it's a very good 6 months for you. We've got the World card here, which is success, completion, and self-actualization. So there is a big accomplishment this year for you. And I've got Justice. So we finish out this time next year. Justice is, oftentimes it's something legal. So it can be like signing a contract. Sometimes it can be getting married. Sometimes it is just doing the right thing. But I'm seeing justice is on your side. If you have any court things, I'm not worried about it. It feels very good for you there. So powerful year for you, Tyler.
That's the best reading I've ever gotten from you.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and you've had a few of them.
I have, and I can testify that yeah, she's the real deal. A lot of what she said, almost everything, actually, is extremely accurate. So I'm really excited about that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Tyler, you have a conference coming up that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so we've been hosting our podcast, Journey to Truth, for 4 years now. Last year, last May, we did our first conference. It revolved around space. This year, it's going to be a little more on the spirituality side of things. Obviously, you know, the whole space, ET, paranormal mm-hmm. aspect, Yeti, Bigfoot. But we have speakers coming in from all over the country. It's in Grafton, Illinois, May 22nd through the 25th. And tickets are available at journeytotruthcon.com. We invite everyone out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we just get to, you know, learn, listen, hang out with Soul Family, and just, you know, get together in a time right now when most of us aren't getting together like we used to. So
yeah, fantastic. Well, I wanted to invite everybody to the Ball of the Two Well-Known Gentlemen. It is going to be a masquerade Mardi Gras kind of thing in Washington, Missouri on Saturday, February 25th. And I will be there doing tarot card readings. So if you would like to come meet me and try out a reading in person, $20 admission will get you in. It'll get you a drink, a piece of king cake, lots of music and fun. I've done this a number of times in the past, pre-COVID. And it's at the Old Bush Brewery in Washington, Missouri. So that should be a lot of fun. Also, February 17th through the 19th, there is the Rocks Rule event, the Kirkwood Winter Rock Show in the Kirkwood Community Center. And this should be a good time if you're into crystals and lots of fun stuff that we like. So I have had a blast hanging out with you today. And thank you so much. If you wanted to schedule a personal tarot card reading with me, or if you wanted to bring me in for an event, please check out the website, mysticfix.com. We also have book giveaways there, and you can get a reading on the show. So, would love to see you. Hope you tune in next week. This is News Talk STL 101.9 and 94.1.
See the world.